He that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it on, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we ask your blessings tonight on your word. We thank you for it. We appreciate it. Appreciate its truth. We appreciate its help. For its comfort, for its guidance, for its conviction. We just ask, God, that you would help us as we are needy people. And, Lord, that we can be as what you've told us to be salt and to be light. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So salt. Last time we were here, we talked about it. Salt. Salt is some. Why did Jesus say salt? Don't know. But he did. And he, by the way, mentions it first, salt before light. Salt is something tangible. It's sodium chloride, NaCl, is a very stable compound. Okay, salt just wants to be salt. All right, and it's really hard to make it something else. Right, it just wants to be salt, but it's real. I really feel that the Lord wants us to be real. Amen? We live in a very plastic world, a very synthetic world, we live in a very hypocritical world. We really do. But something that just so that folks out there, they need to know that we're Christians. Now, they're not going to know we're Christians just if we are salt. The only way they're going to know that truly that we are Christians is if they know that we are light. So they both need you. This is symbiotic. All right? But the thing is, you can't take light and put it in your hand and hold it. You can't save it. You say, well, a battery. Yep, but the battery discharges. Okay? And unless it's recharged, it will lose its charge and it will be gone. Okay, we can't put some of this in our pockets. All right, we can put some of this in our pocket. Amen. Okay, and salt is something that's tangible. It's there. But just being salt, we talked about some of the properties of salt. It preserves. It seasons, it cleanses, it heals, it creates a thirst, and it is necessary for life. Okay, we can become less salty by becoming diluted, and we become diluted by letting the cares and the things of this world enter into our lives. Okay, Bible speaks of three classifications of people in 1 Corinthians. Talks about the natural man. That person's unsaved, unregenerate, born lost, die lost. But then it talks about the carnal man. He says, and the description of the carnal man, he's saved, but so as by what? Fire, okay? He's a saved person, but living like the natural man. And then it talks about the spiritual man. So, salt is necessary. This world needs salt. We need to be salty people. And very necessary. But that's tangible. This is not. Okay? Light is an energy. There are four forces in nature, or the four forces of physics, as they're normally called, or often called. There's a force of gravity, all right, and that's how things. They're explained by Newton's laws of motion, all right, and gravity is what keeps our celestial bodies out there in moving the way that they do and keeping them the way that they do. And I've got a little app on my phone, and it shows all of the rocket bodies and stuff that we have stuck out there in space. And those rocket bodies and things, they'll just sit out there and tumble forever until the Lord comes, okay? Because they're gravitationally locked into an orbit as to where they're at, okay? By the way, it's a good thing, because as we send more vehicles out into space, they want to know where those things are, so that they don't run into them. All right, but gravity. We're going to talk about light, which is part of what's called the electromagnetic power. All right, the visible spectrum is just a little teeny sliver of what we call the electromagnetic force. Okay, electromagnetic force is huge. It's big, but we only see a little. Can physically see just a little sliver of that. Then there is the what's called the weak force, which has only been discovered just within the last few decades, and it has to do with nuclear decay. All right, there were places out in the Pacific Ocean where we set some nuclear bombs off. And for a while they weren't safe, but now you can go there. They're safer because the nuclear portion of that, the nuclear poisoning of that has diminished with time. Then there's what's something called a strong force. In an atom, it's made up of electrons and protons. Electrons having a negative charge and a proton having a positive charge. Well, if you take a magnet, positive and negative, and get them close to each other, what happens? Click, right? But if you take and reverse those magnets, now you have like poles what? They repel each other. But unlike poles, attract each other. Here's one that's very interesting. Physicists out there, they're very interested in the strong force, but the strong force terrifies them. It really does scare them, because they know that if those two guys ever just get together, we have a problem. All right? We have a serious problem. That's called an implode. They can't explain. They think it's gravity that keeps them apart, but yet they have light, they have opposite poles, and they don't understand what's going on there. Gravity, light, strong force, weak force, it's all measurable. It's all predictable. It's all mostly explained. But the fact of the matter is, they have no clue, and they will tell you, we have no idea where this came from. They have no idea. But we do. Amen? We do. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, God said, let there be light. Amen? And God made light. There's an old saying, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. There's something seriously wrong with that statement. Seriously wrong. God said it, that settles it. It makes no difference if I believe it or not. Amen? God. And so light is an energy. And energy can neither be made nor can it be destroyed. It can only be used. And we do use it a lot. Aren't we a energy consuming people? Amen? And we are. But God tells us we're to be the light of the what? World. We need to be salt. We need to be real. We need to be tangible. We need to be and carry those properties about us spiritually as salt has about it physically. But tonight, we need to be the light of the world. And the Bible tells us that we need to be a light that's put on a candlestick. By the way, the scriptures talks about seven candlesticks, the churches of the New Testament, all right? And we're to be set on a candlestick. We're not to be hid. We're not to be covered up. We're to be out there illuminating. I looked up the word light in the Strong's Concordance, and there are several different words for light. By the way, the first word for light is that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Okay? Let there be light. Physical light. Then there are some other descriptions of light. Illumination. What light does. It shines. Where light should be. Placed high. To where it's not hid, it's not covered up, it's placed there so that all can see. There are places in this country, especially out west, that especially during the winter time, snowstorms, people would place candles in the windows because people in the snowstorm, they can lose their way, but every once in a while, just a short period of time, how far a candlelight during the aboard ship, a warship, you get yourself in serious trouble if men would go out of doors and light a cigarette. A cigarette is visible to 5 miles on board ship at night. All right? And so it doesn't take a whole lot of light to be seen a whole lot of distance. All right? Or very far distance. We are to be light. And we're not to hide that light. We're to let that light shine. We sing a little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen? We need to be just as a little child would sing that song. We're to let our light shine. And so that people know the verse that you have up here in James chapter 1. We receive the light of the world through his son, Jesus Christ. We receive that light and we're to shine that light. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I'd like to just look at some things of what light does. And this is not exhaustive. There's a whole lot more to this. But light pushes out darkness. If we were to turn all the lights off in this room, okay, darkness does not push out light. Darkness, folks, has no power. It's powerless. All right? But what does darkness do? It simply fills a void. And so if we turn the light switches off, darkness does not rush into here. Right? It's just simply filling up the void. When we turn the light switches on, though, those light switches, allowing these lights to come on, the light pushes out the darkness. Darkness has no power. By the way, in physics, okay, white light is the presence of all colors, of which, by the way, there are 7 of them. Okay, red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, and violet. All right, those 7 colors, the rainbow. You put all those colors together, and we have white light. Okay. What is the opposite of white? Black. Black, by the way, has no color. Okay. It is it is totally void of color. There's no such thing as the black color. All right. It's void of color. No color at all. All right. It's the absence of color. And, but light, removes the darkness. In the beginning, God said, that he created light, and what did it do? It took the place of what? Darkness. In Ephesians chapter 8, it says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, it says, For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. This world that we live in, we say we live in a dark and sinful world. It is. What do we need to be? Light. Okay? And it's not an optional thing. It's not an optional thing with the Lord, but can't we easily make it an option? Yes. All right? We're not to hide our light. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So light dispels. Light pushes. Light eliminates darkness. I used to do a lot of caving, okay? And I like caves. I've been in all kinds of caves, commercial caves, you know, with the light switches and all that kind of stuff, okay? Those are all right. But I liked caves. I'm probably done with caving, all right? And and I've taken lots of people into caves. If anybody here claustrophobic, have I got some cave tales for you? People say, have you ever been stuck? More than once. More than once. You say, what do you do? Just relax. Just relax. And you say, what happens if you get uptight? You still be stuck. That's what happens. Relax, all right? You got in there, you can get out. Amen? All right. But I enjoyed taking people into caves and taking them back to the far, far, far reaches of the cave and then take all their lights from them, all of them, so they have no light at all, and have them put their hand on the end of their nose and wiggle their fingers, all right? And they can't see it. There's no light there. And it's fun. You take one little match and go, and everybody goes, right? And it's amazing how much candle power just in one little match. All right. And how it just pushes away the darkness. We need to be a light in this very, very dark world that we live in. What else does light do? You ever been driving into a neighborhood that you've never been to in your life? Maybe you're going to someone's home. You're going to spend the night or something. You're going to go to a hotel or someplace or like that. And you're driving around and it's dark. And you really can't see things. And with some of us older folks, you can't see very well in the dark anyway. And, you know, it's just like you're driving through this crooked tunnel, all right, trying to find your way through there. And you're looking around and things look so unfamiliar and strange and odd. And then you go out the next morning and you go, oh, you ever been there? We've all been there, haven't we? Okay? And, you know, isn't that kind of the way it is in life sometimes? And when the morning sun comes, it just reveals everything as it really is. And we have these, my wife and I traveling so much, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're going, where's the bathroom? and I've got to where I don't have it on me. I've got to where now I take my phone and pick it and just turn it on so I can find my way around. All right. Because I don't know what's there and I don't want to get lost. And I don't want to trip. I remember years and years ago when the watches came out that had the little light on it, you know, that you could see. And okay, this preacher that was very elderly man. And he says, right here. Right here. You awake? I am now. He said, right here. I gotta go to the bathroom. And it was a long ways. We were standing in this church prophet's chamber, and I mean, it was forever away. He said, I can't see. So I thought, oh man, what am I? Ah. And I got out my watch. And I took it through a watch. Anyway. Precious memories. My wife, some time ago, grandkids were over, and one grand, I had a little bracelet, and a bracelet broke, and it's made up of these little teeny glass beads, and they just scattered everywhere. So my wife wanted to collect all those glass beads and try to find all of them so they can fix them. So you know what she did? She got out a flashlight. And some of these beads went under the bed. Well, my wife had just vacuumed, and she just used her little stiffer, and she had just mopped the floor, and she knew her floors were clean. But she gets down on her hands and knees with that flashlight, and she looks under the bed, and she goes, "Huh." You know what it was under there? Dirty. And she had just cleaned. In fact, when you turn the light off, it's clean. You turn the light back on, it's what? Dirty. Isn't it amazing how just a little bit of light can illuminate things to really understand what it truly is? How many times have we cleaned the inside or outside of our windshield? And it's clean. And then you think, man, I got now clean glass, I can see. And you're driving down the street and you turn and the light comes in just so right. And you go, I just cleaned that. And it's not what? It's dirty. What helps us to see that? A sunlight. Amen? Light has a way of truly revealing truth. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather," what? "Reprove them." How do we reprove them? By being what? Light. Amen? By being light. Reprove them. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved and are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." We are to be what? Light. In a dark world that we live in. What else does it do? It relieves the fearful. And I'm not going to ask, you know, but I'm sure we have folks in here who are afraid of the dark. You know why folks are afraid of the dark? They can't see. They don't know what's hidden. Darkness has a way of being deceitful. Darkness has a way of just simply hiding things. And people are fearful of the dark because they don't know what's out there. All right. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of" what? "Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." You know, Bible tells us, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust also in thee." Folks, we can trust God's word. Now, it's talking about being fearful of the future, being fearful of the moment, being fearful of just the unknown. It's not really talking about fear of the dark necessarily out there. But you know, the application is still the same. There's a God in heaven, and he knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what's going on, and it's okay. They have a little saying down south, "Should be right, mate." Amen? Right? And we can trust our God. But light relieves fearful. You give a person who a fear of the dark and turn the light on, good night. They're at ease. Amen? You give them a flashlight, okay? Put a mouse in their pocket, they're okay. They got somebody with them, all right? A camaraderie there, okay? And so they, but light has a way of doing that. Why? It dispels the hidden. It dispels the deceitfulness. It takes that away. It does something else. It reinforces the few. Anybody here ever feel like you're the only one out there sometimes? You're all by yourself and you're in a crowd of people and these aren't saved people. These are unsaved people. And you ever feel like sometimes you're alone? All right. You know, if we were to take the light and let our light so shine, we don't need to fear that. How about Gideon? Gideon was very fearful and full of what? Excuses. Amen? And God told him he was going to go out and fight this incredible battle. And Gideon had in his mind that the Lord was going to equip his tens of thousands of soldiers with bazookas and tanks and all this kind of stuff. And Gideon ends up there with 301 himself. They talk about 300. It was 301. There's 300 guys in one Gideon. All right? That's 301. All right? And Gideon, you know, now he's like, they all left. Okay? They went home. And I'm supposed to go out there and fight these Midianites, these thousands of Midianites, with 301? With what? A horn? And a pitcher with a lamp in it? You've got to be kidding. You know, I think God probably had a sense of humor, is explaining all this to Gideon. This is how you're going to do it. You ever feel like God's have a sense of humor with you sometimes? Amen? Okay. And God's telling Gideon how he's going to do this, but you think about it. They quietly sneak down there, and they're different. They split up in groups, and they quietly sneak down there above the Midianites, and they've got their horns. Of course, they've got their swords, but they've got those put away at the moment because they have their hands full. They got a horn in one hand, and they've got a pitcher that has a candle or a lamp under it, and it's hid. And they quietly sneak down there, real quiet, very stealth-like, and then they break their pitchers and blow their trumpets. And the Midianites look out, and they see these lights, and they hear all these trumpets going on, and they think this handful of men is thousands of soldiers. And these Midianites, they go so crazy that they pull their swords out and kill each other. Gideon's men didn't have to do much. They did it all themselves. They just went on. These people went, you know, they tripped out. All right. They went crazy. All right. And so that light, you know what it did? It reinforced the few. You know, if we could just learn, I think it's very, the Bible is very clear. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, how many people on the planet now? Somewhere between 7 and 8 billion people. And it's easy sometimes to look at our numbers and say, what are we? What am I? Hey, that little watch got us around through that building, no problems. And it wasn't much of a light, but it was a light. Amen? As I mentioned the cave and taking just one, you take a little birthday candle and light that thing, and it's amazing how much light that little birthday candle produces. Just incredible. If we could realize that we're to be salt and we're to have the power of God illuminating through us, just how much really that is. You know, if God be for us, who really can be against us? Folks, God has given us two items that are put together are an incredible force in a very, very dark and sinful world tonight. We need to be that salt. We need to be that light. And not be ashamed of who our God is. And just let the light of Christ shine through us. That world out there can see that there is a God in heaven. And it's not because of me. It's not because of my intellect. It's not because of my powers. It's not because of my wisdom. It's not because of my charisma. It's not not any of those things. It's not me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. The emphasis is not on the word I. The emphasis is on the word Christ and Him working through me. How's the world going to see that I really am salt if I don't have the light of Christ shining through me? This is me. This is He. And if we put those two together, God can use us in a very dark world. And it doesn't have to be a lot of us. I realize that some of you, maybe you're going to go see family these next few days. And my family, our families, they're lost. They don't know Christ. And, you know, when we go there, we don't have to. We don't have to be, you know what? They know what we're going to do. You know how they know we're going to, because we just try to be salt with them. And we try to lay the light of Christ. And you know what? They respect that. They do. And they may not necessarily like it, but they do respect it. And they know that that we're different from them, and they don't belittle us. They don't. They're not unkind to us. They respect it. But if we try to take and kind of put the salt away for a little bit, and if we just kind of want to hide that candlestick just a little bit. You know what they'll do? Darkness fills the void. And you know what they'll do? They'll take advantage. They'll mock. They'll scorn. They'll belittle. Why? Because the darkness that they represent will fill that void. So if we just keep that candlestick burning, and we just keep that salt, us, the qualities of salt, and the light of Christ, and put those things together, it is amazing what God can do with just one. With just one. This is a perfect time of year to be both, without shame. If there's any time of the year where people will lost people out there will have an opportunity to, you know, when do most people go to visit a church? Used to be C and E, Christmas and Easter. They don't think much about Easter anymore. But still, there's just something about it that people think about, what, Christmas time. This is a perfect opportunity to just be salty as you can possibly be and let the light of Christ shine through you. Amen? Amen. And, but as a, you know, New Year's is coming and they talk about, you know, resolutions and turning over an old leaf or a new leaf or something, leaf, I don't know, and doing all that. Let's just ask the Lord just every day. Not just something new, but just every day, help us to be salt that He's told us to be in Matthew chapter 5 and be the light of the world that He's told us to be. And let God use us in a very dark world. And I think it would surprise all of us just what the Lord can do if we just do those two things. He just said, be salt, be light. That's us. That's He. If God be for us, what can man do to us? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have the promise of God's word on that. And light is an incredible thing. We all enjoy it, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah, we like it. Okay? No matter how much our light bill is, we still like it. We still use it. Amen? All right? And so, let's just be light. Preacher? Still going. Man, can't even blow the thing out. Blowhard? Did he call me a blowhard?
How many of us could be a better light?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I think we all could. I don't think there's any doubt that any of us could be better lights. I think we miss opportunities, don't we, to shine the light. May we just be ever attentive to the Spirit of God. Amen. And let's just take a few moments to pray and ask the Lord to help us to be a light to this dark world that is around us, and to meditate on what Brother Gere said in tonight's message. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time together. I do pray again for the Gears that, Lord, you please would help them as they prepare and get ready for this long trip that they'll be having to Australia and many months there. Lord, give them grace, give them wisdom, strength. May you fill them with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.